Phone Jim, you said you had some more to say about deep sleep and memory and the relationship.
Yeah. See, memory is stored impressions of an experience gone through in time, which you retrieve at another point of time. So that's what memory and recollection is. And the two points of time are involved, recollection and the gathering. So gathering of an experience in time, that's what memory is. Now, deep sleep is it memory? Somebody says, Sukamahama Swapsam, I had a good sleep, and therefore there was sleep. If you say like this, then memory becomes a means of knowledge. Memory cannot be a means of knowledge. Memory doesn't reveal anything new. And therefore, your memory itself is due to knowledge gathered through something else, some other means of knowledge. Again, it cannot be a means of knowledge. And therefore, so does, if it is memory, it becomes a means of knowledge. You can't say that I had good sleep because of memory. Then we say, no, memory is, we are not quoting memory here. We had the experience, and which is Sakshi Vedya, Sakshi Pratyaksha. Therefore, deep sleep is Sakshi Pratyaksha. Like emotions are Sakshi Pratyaksha, time is Sakshi Pratyaksha. This is, even timelessness is Sakshi Pratyaksha. I don't know, timelessness means absence of time, is also Sakshi Pratyaksha. That I didn't experience anything is Sakshi Pratyaksha. Therefore, even if you say there was a Sukshma Ahankara, but Sakshi continues, you know. Ahankara itself is variable. Therefore, what is invariable is Sakshi. Ahankara is blessed by Sakshi again. It's not separate from Sakshi. Therefore, it is Sakshi Pratyaksha. So, Pratyaksha is the means of knowledge. Pratyaksha is sensory perception or witness perception. Here it is witness perception. That is what you are quoting. Sukham aham asvapsam akinchadavya samiti. Therefore, it is not born of memory. This is what I said.
Okay, Swamiji.
Swamiji, so the Sakshi Pratyaksha is really, has to be the underlying, the sensory perception is merely Sakshi Pratyaksha mediated by sensory perception.
Yeah.
So it's all really Sakshi Pratyaksha, but simply appears to be mediated by the senses.
Yeah, because there is Sakshi Pratyaksha when you say, without sense organs. See, Sakshi is always there. They're invariable. But with senses in between, then we call it Indriya Pratyaksha. The Indriya's presence is there. If Indriya's presence is not there, then we say purely Sakshi Pratyaksha. So you can understand. So Sakshi is invariable. Not Sakshi is displaced by senses. Senses are addition.
Now
yeah, that's mediation. Yeah. Therefore, Indriya Pratyaksha or pure Sakshi Pratyaksha. So that means Sakshi was there even in Indriya Pratyaksha.
So you're sort of stripping away layers.
Yeah. Suppose you say oral karma, mental karma, and kayikam karma. So in mental karma, mind is there. Oral karma, mind is there. In kayikam karma, mind and oral karma both are there. Vak, manaha both are there. When you do puja, manas and vak plus limbs are involved. In oral karma, mind and vak are involved. Then mental karma is only mind and vak. So mind is there in all the three. Therefore, when you say, so kayikam karma, so it's not that body alone is involved. Vak karma means mind and vak alone is not involved. Mind is involved, mind and vak. Mind, vak and limbs. And mind alone. Kal manasam karma. So mind is invariable. Like Sakya Pratyaksha.
Swamiji, when a person is in coma, how should we take it? There is no... He is not aware even when he gets up. There is nothing there.
Yeah, in a coma also, so that the sukshma ahankara also is not present. The sukshma ahankara, that's why it's different from sleep. Sukshma ahankara also is not present. So therefore he won't say when you call him, he won't say that. In a deep sleep, if you call him, he will, after some time you will say, yes, Ma. You can say yes. If you shake him, you will get up. Because Sukhma Sankara is there to respond. In coma, it is not there. Or general anesthesia is not there. Until anesthesia goes.
But the karma sriya still has to be there in the form of the seating.
But when he wakes up from the general anesthesia, he picks up from where he left.
So it's a different state.
So from that, when he picks up from where he left, in between he was there. We do not that he cannot pick up. One who left and one who picks up is the same. Then he was there. Again, presumption. Arthapati, we do.
Is there any name for this particular state beyond the sleep? Is there any name, you know, for the sleep where a person is in coma and he is in... Is there any name for that?
Murcha. Now we say murcha, murcha. State of coma is murcha.
Swamiji, what about the placement of maya? If maya is in Brahman, is maya intrinsic to Brahman? What wording does Swamiji use for the relationship between maya and Brahman?
Nothing intrinsic to Brahman. Intrinsic to Brahman is cannot say anything. Because it should be there in its Swarupa. In Swarupa is only Jnanam Chaitanya. And therefore, nothing intrinsic. And maya cannot exist also elsewhere. Like pot cannot exist elsewhere. So it has to be mithya. In terms of reality, it's mithya. Mithya is a reality word. They think it is some kind of substance word. It is a reality world.
Sometimes, Swamiji, I've used the term intrinsic for Maya as Mithya only because Maya can't be anyplace else and it's never away from Brahman.
It has to be in Brahman alone.
But because it does, it's Mithya, it doesn't...
We don't use the word intrinsic.
Yeah.
Nor it is extrinsic. Not elsewhere. So it's anirvachaniya. Mithya. Saddha-sadhyam anirvachaniyam. It's not a parallel reality.
But Mithya... Brahman is never without Mithya. Brahman is never without Maya. It's just that Maya is Mithya.
No, no. Brahman is understood without Maya alone.
Yes, the word Brahman is understood without Maya, just as Satchidananda.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Maya is never...
never understood without Brahman.
Yes, that's better.
Yeah, much better. Because Maya is Mithya.
But Maya as Mithya is never not there, even if it's in unmanifest condition or manifest condition, the Maya is beginningless.
Yeah. See, whether it is manifest jagat also is Maya, unmanifest also is Maya. And therefore, Maya doesn't exist without being Brahman. Being Mithya. And it makes Brahman Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam.
Yes.
Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam, both. And but that Maya Upadhi itself makes Brahman Sarvajna.
And the Maya Upadhi is in Brahman, even though it's not in Brahman.
Yeah,
there's no other place where it could be.
When you say that, we mean Solimitya.
I just like to hear Swamiji's language around that.
My language is Maya is not independent of Brahman. Brahman does not include Maya. Brahman is Brahman, while Maya is not. Therefore, when we understand Brahman as Karanam, Jagat Karanam, we understand Brahman with Maya alone, as Sarvajna. And then if that Ishvara, Brahman, Maya means Ishvara, that Ishvara is you, equated. The equation is between you and Brahman, as Karanam of the entire Jagat. Karanam of the Jagat is Brahman means Ishvara, where Ishvara is you. And therefore, the obvious difference is the basis for equation. The hetu for equation, why there is an equation, because of obvious difference. When the difference is obvious, there cannot be equation. There can be equation if the non-difference is satyam.
Swamiji, in reference to that, just a follow-up on that, even though Maya is Mithya, this is a question that comes in terms of Advaita. There's Brahman and there's Mithya Maya. But even though Maya is Mithya, Mithya Maya is there. So there's a type of Dvaita. There's Brahman and Mithya Maya.
That's because it is, we are giving reality to Mithya. The word Mithya itself is to negate that reality. Otherwise you will say only Maya. And Mithya, the word, is ontological word. It is to make me understand that Maya is Sad Asadvyam Anirvachaniyam. It is not categorical. Once it is not categorical, you cannot say one plus. Brahman plus Maya, we cannot say that. So duality to come, so that should be so the same status of reality. Then only one plus one is possible. So you cannot have one plus mithya is one. See, one plus mithya being one, you cannot have one plus mithya is two. Still is Advaita. One plus mithya is one. One plus satyam, one satyam plus another satyam is two. That satyam doesn't exist. Satyam is always one. And therefore, one satyam plus mithya is one. One plus one is one. And one plus many also is one. That is what Purnamidam, Purnamidam.
Swamiji, what is the, if we say that Atma as such has no limitation, Jiva is defined by the fact of limitation, what is then the nexus, where is the point, can we even say a point at which avidya exists? Is it, in other words, what's the nexus of the problem of ignorance?
See,
can we define that?
The problem of ignorance is only for the one who is ignorant. And therefore, when somebody asks this question, Shankara answers, for whom is ignorance? He said, for the one who is asking the question. Prashtu. Kasya ajnanam. Prashtu who is this? Prashtu means for the questioner. The one who is asking the question is ignorance. And then that means Prashta is Sachidananda Atma. There is no other Prashta. There is no questioner except Sachidananda Atma. Sachidananda Atma alone is the questioner with the Upadhi. Therefore, I say the locus of anything is Atma, not only Ajnana. The locus of anything is Atma. The Namarupa's locus also is Atma. And Vidya also is Atma only. And because once you say Atma is Satyam, there is no other locus.
And they ask the question why you can't answer that question.
And another thing, if it is elsewhere, then I need not know Atma. To remove that, I need not know Atma. Because if my Atma Ajnanam is the hetu for my being a Jiva, then the Ajnanam must be only in the Atma. It cannot be elsewhere. Because the self-revealing vastu is Atma. There alone Ajnanam is possible. Because in Achetana, Ajnanam is not possible. Only Chetana, Ajnanam is possible. A conscious being alone can afford to have ignorance. Therefore, ignorance means there is a knowledge possibility. So without knowledge possibility, there is no ignorance. Therefore, Chetanam alone can be the locus of ignorance. Only a conscious being can be the locus of ignorance. And the conscious being is only Atma. So, by knowing that I am Satchidananda, ignorance goes. Ignorance goes for whom now? It is for Satchidananda. So Satchidananda had ignorance. Yes, Satchidananda had ignorance. How can it have ignorance? That's why it went away. Nitya. Our orientation is, when you make a statement that there is avidya, then our orientation is immediately, we count it as a category. Therefore, 1+ we take. So some plus is there. So we have to reorient ourselves to understand the nature of mithya properly. So, sat asadhyam anirvachaniyam. Never counted as one. And don't dismiss it as non-existent. Then that's not mithya. We cannot account for problems. We have to account for it. So, in between, mithya is, whole jagat is mithya. Your body is mithya. All vyavahara is mithya. And the whole karakas, all the karakas, subject, object, means, all mithya. That's why we say, brahmarpanam, brahmagavihi, brahmagnu, brahmanahata. All karakas, subject, object, the means. Oh, mithya. With mithya, then we can say, any mithya, the subject is Brahman, object is Brahman, karanam, the means is Brahman, the purpose, sampradanam is Brahman, apadanam is Brahman, adhikaranam is Brahman. Every genitive shashti is Brahman. Whole thing is Brahman. And singular, plural, duality, everything is Brahman.
Swamiji?
Yeah.
Can I ask one more? Just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Swamiji, so many students will ask, especially Western students, do we need to believe in karma, reincarnation, heaven worlds and hell worlds, punya, papa, ishwara, in order to really understand this knowledge, to have jnana nishtha? Are these beliefs necessary? I'd like Swamiji to address that.
You know, it is necessary in vyavahara, in understanding vyavahara, in order to transcend vyavahara. So adequate understanding of vyavahara. So vyavaharic satta to understand is not possible, because there is no bottom. Any one thing, you take physics in vyavahara, there is no last word. You take biochemistry or biology, you have no last word. That means nobody can completely understand vyavahara. But you must have adequate knowledge of vyavahara. the adequate knowledge implies also punya papa. The accounting for diversity, etc., accounting for prayer, accounting for adrishta, so it is important. Heaven and all that is neither necessary nor it is unnecessary. I mean, it doesn't figure. There is no place in the scheme. In the scheme of Vedanta, heaven doesn't have a place. And if there is one, it is only for dismissal.
But that's not to say that it's not there.
No, that is not, that is a wrong understanding. It is not there, you cannot say. You have no pramana for it. So nobody can say it is not there. That means he has not understood how pramana works. Therefore, he has to understand how pramana works. Therefore, neither you can say that it is, you can prove it is there, nor it requires proof. That it is not, it doesn't require proof. Why? Because that is why it is apurva. That is why it is the means of knowledge. It is not available for proof. Nitya paroksha is it. And similarly, so you cannot, if that is so, you cannot prove it is not there. So you cannot disprove, you cannot prove. You don't need to prove. But are you interested? That is the question. I am not interested. So in the scheme of moksha, it figures only to dismiss it. Some people have a commitment for it and therefore it has to be dismissed. Vyavahara. But punya papa have to be understood because the parentage, prayer, all this a value.
What about Ishwara Swamiji? Sometimes
we
like to escape Ishwara.
Without Ishwara, there is no equation. You will only be understanding consciousness. Consciousness is nothing, there is dissociation. Because, why dissociation? Because I am not this, I am not there, I am not that is consciousness. Then, what is not this is Ishwara. So that is called dissociation. So you are creating duality. What is not this is another thing sitting there. It is as real as whatever you have negated, whatever you, what is balance. The balance after negation is as real as what is negated. I always say, you eat banana and throw away the banana peel. And if you say, because I have, what is useful is real, and what is thrown away is not real, but the banana peel will prove itself it is more real. Because this fellow, what he did, and he ate the banana, threw away the banana peel as an Indian, and he threw away, and he forgot about that he had thrown away, and it was there on the driveway, and he walked, and then put his foot on it, then went sprawling down. And then the banana he ate came out. And therefore, which is more real now? The banana peel is more real than banana. So my logic is very tight.
Swamiji, I don't know if it's appropriate, but you know the story, the joke that you told? Remember the joke that you told at the end of the satsang?
Yeah.
Could Swamiji tell us the joke again? Or not?
No, I'm ready to tell that. This fellow was writing a book. He's a missionary. And he was writing a book about the the ancient churches, old churches, not ancient, old churches, in all over the world, with photographs, illustrations, a nice book, it will be a good book. And so he wanted to travel the whole world. He went to China first, and in Peking there are some old cathedrals. And he went to this cathedral and he saw in one corner, near the pulpit, he saw this huge phone, and it was gold in color. And he wanted to check up whether it is really gold. And it was shining like gold, and then he found it was gold. And when he found it was gold, then he was curious, why is golden telephone here? It's a waste of money. Then he found, down below written, $10,000 per call. He asked the priest, $10,000 per call? So what kind of call is that? It's a call to God in heaven. Hotline. We can call God. Then he didn't have any money, nor he wanted to call, and he left. Then he went to Japan. There also he went to this old cathedral. Again he found it was there. A golden phone. And again there was $10,000 call. Call to God. Then he went to Indonesia. There is one Catholic island. They have recently become a separate country. He went there. There was a new church. It's a big church, and he went inside the church and he found the same car. The phone was there, and $10,000 per car. And of course he was amused, but he didn't have money to call. He came to India. He wanted to go to all Indian old churches. He landed in Chennai. Then, as he was planning to go to St. Thomas Church, St. Thomas Church, called St. Thomas, and St. Thomas, they say. He wanted to go to the church. On the way, he saw this temple, Mylapore Temple. And then he went to this temple. And there again there was this golden telephone. He thought, my God, even here also there is telephone. And he was a little amused. But he looked at this, what is it written down below? There was this sign was there, 1 rupee per call. And he asked the priest, this call to whom? 1 rupee. And he said, it is go to God. And God, these fellows charge $10,000 per call? Yes, we know. But God is the local call. It's not long distance. Very telling.
You made it up yesterday, Swami.
Eh?
You made the story yesterday. You made it up yesterday while you were giving that on the spot.
I have been waiting for some time.
Well,
came in time. I saw it in some form somewhere. It's all very clear. It's all made suitable for me. So I always make it mine. And then he decided not to become a missionary, not to continue as a missionary. He gave up his missionary job also. Because he was recruiting people to take them to God in heaven. If only he is locally available. Not for the development. Nice, very effective.
Swami, can I ask you one question about the deep sleep and the coma? Why is it that we seem to remember deep sleep, but we have no memory at all of coma? I mean, coma is like, or anesthesiology, is 1 second you're there, then next second you're back. But deep sleep, we seem to have some type of memory of it. Why is that?
Memory of?
Swamiji, in coma, or if you have an anesthetic, you go in, there's...
Yeah.
Why is that?
Coma, because there's no ahankara.
But then, so, and you seem to remember deep sleep?
No, if you have ahankara, you will wake up. Say, in the anesthesia.
Right.
Fellow will wake up when our surgery goes on. Halfway through.
But if he sleeps,
but we do that,
Swamiji. Yeah.
But we do that on purpose sometimes.
Which
we
one?
Wake them up. Waking up under anesthesia is done on purpose also.
Right?
But there's a way then.
But you have to wake them up.
Yeah, we wake up. We wake them up, like doing brain surgery, we wake them up so that they can check whether movement is there and everything. We talk to the patient, ask him to move, ask him to do things, and then go back to sleep. Then the surgeon will take out some more of tumor. We do that on purpose also.
That when it's the brain, yeah.
Brain, some special surgeries when they do. You wake them up also on purpose.
But so in deep sleep, there's the subtle mind is there,
ahankara
is there.
Yeah, that's why there's a difference between coma and sleep. The sukshma ahankara is there. Here this ahankara is chemically, they have knocked off. Because physiologically it's knocked off. So it cannot come.
The door shut.
Before you require to have the physiologically an active brain in order for this mind to operate. And when that is completely inactivated, so nothing can happen. So that's what they do.
Swamiji, but people come back from coma too. They do come back.
Yeah. They all come back. When they come back, they pick up the thread. So the one who was is the one who is. So adau asti, ante asti, vartamane pi asti. That is the logic. Adau nasti, ante nasti, vartamane pi tattata. The part was not there, part of the destruction is not there, and during the part existence also part is not there. Because what was there, clay, later also is clay, then what is in between? clay before, clay later, whatever that was there is there now also. In between what? It has been clay. Because it was clay before, it is clay later, and therefore clay in between it must be. And it is. And where is this addition called part? Adau in nasti, ante in nasti, adav ante in nasti, vartamane pi tattata. Vartamane pi, even now also, tattata is the only claim. Now you can put it other way. Adau yadasti, ante yadasti, vartamane pi tattata. In between also it was there. Previously it was there, now it is not there. To looks it is not there. Later it is there. So in between also it is there. Then what was not there is the mind. So then it was my mind, this is also my mind. Both are objects. And in between the object was not there, the object is there, that's all what it is. See, vastu was there. Yeah.
I think people have a hard time, a very difficult time understanding if their mind isn't there, they're still there. The clay is still there. Most people think if their mind is not there, they don't exist anymore. They're not there. So that's
what they think the consciousness is epiphenomenon of brain. Make it physiological. Model is a physiological model. Whatever they want to say, want to can say that. Then that is then we can argue. If consciousness is an epiphenomenon, why it doesn't occur everywhere? So under certain conditions it occurs. Under some conditions, when the cell, the whatever the ingredients in the cell, constituents in the cell, and they all fulfill the condition, then the consciousness comes to manifest there. So what comes to manifest is already there. Nothing is created, they know that. Matter is not created, energy is not created. Consciousness is much less created. It is already there. It is already there, comes to manifest. So you can call it as an adjective. An adjective means you have not created anything. You have come to recognize it is the consciousness is manifest. Consciousness comes to manifest in a cell. If you make a cell in a test tube, and you find it becomes conscious suddenly. Then consciousness comes to manifest in itself. Because you don't inject consciousness. You see, under some conditions, the consciousness comes to manifest. If it comes to manifest, it is already there to come to manifest. That is what we are talking about. Already there, it manifests, not epiphenomena.
Thank you, Swamiji. That was so great. Thank you.